So we are currently doing a series. I have a little series background on invitation. And I so love this series because it reminds us, as Christians, if you're a Christian in here, it reminds us really why we exist and our purpose. So if anyone's struggling with, I don't know what my purpose is in life, I really need to, you know, find out what that is. This is your purpose as a believer, is about spreading the good news. Yeah? So 2019 is a lot about building this culture in Lee Valley Church that we're outward focused and not inward focused. We're not doing things to our own personal taste, that it's not all about us and our little world. It's actually all about other people. It's about people who don't yet know Jesus, because what we carry is something amazing, you know? I had my life group last week. This is a life group that Tim and I set up, and it's for the 30-somethings. Quite a few of us just about scrape into the 30-somethings. And we were talking about being casual and lukewarm about God, and the fact that, you know, in the Church of Laodicea in Revelation, when John was writing to the church and was talking about the fact that this lukewarm, blasé attitude is so offensive to God. And as Christians, if we're just going through our walk and it's all a bit blasé, that's so offensive to God. You know, if we're just a bit casual, can't really be bothered. And we were encouraging each other that really, let's not be like that. Let's just be either hot or cold. Yeah. Let's not just be in the middle where we know God exists, but it's kind of like a pretty little thing we do on a Sunday. We come to church, or we'll read our Bible if we can be bothered, but we're quite tired. We'll throw up a little prayer when we need the genie in the bottle sort of thing. And that is kind of what lukewarm is all about. You know, just not really bothering, just quite happy with just being average about things. And I don't know about you, but I really don't want to have a faith like that. I'm really an all or nothing person. Most people who know me, I'm like, I'm fully in or I'm fully out. There's no kind of middle ground. I'm very black and white. And a lot of people have said to me, it's not all black and white, Hayley, but it is with me. I think I'm undiagnosed something on the spectrum, but I'm definitely like, either that or that, there's no middle, because I don't like the whole lukewarm thing. So, this series about inviting other people. Tim kicked off, talked about Andrew, the fact that he was a bringer. He was a bringer of people. He brought Peter, he brought Andrew, he brought the loaves, etc. And it's interesting to me, because this whole thing about other people is quite cool that we're preaching on it, because as a pastor's kid and as a missionary's kid, I've been brought up in an environment and a kind of a world where it is all about other people. So to me, it's not like a big thing, because, you know, I grew up with people who had a career about looking after other people, and it was all about inviting. And I remember when we first came to this country, we were like, I can't believe there's poor people in England. You know, in London, there's like homeless people. How is this possible? So me and Mum would be constantly inviting homeless people to come and live with us. Constantly inviting. Why are you on the street? We've got a spare room. Come along. So we were always like, literally, we did have homeless people live with us, to the point where there was no more room at the inn. And Dad had to say, stop inviting homeless people home. I remember coming home. Cheryl, do you remember I came home with this homeless old man once? And I had him for dinner. And you were like, why have you brought a homeless person? And I was like, because it's fun. We're supposed to do that. You were like, it's dangerous. But it was cool, because it's the whole point is about being other people-minded, not about ourselves, not about our own pain, not about our own areas. You know, as Christians, we should, I hate doing that whole word should, but we should be thinking of other people, not ourselves. It's all about other people. And as I was preparing this message, I was reading a lot in Acts. Who's read Acts? Yeah. Such a cool, amazing book of the Bible. Because let me just, if you have never read Acts, so this is the Bible. And most of it is made up of the Old Testament, which is the olden day stuff, the ancient world. And it tells the story of like the creation, of the flood, of the Israelites, their relationship with God and stuff like that. And then you go into the New Testament, which is a smaller part of the Bible. And the New Testament denotes when Jesus came and it all changed. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is spoken about in the first four books of the Bible, mainly, which is an account of his life. He came, all of the miracles that he did, and him dying on the cross. And then you go into Acts, and Acts is the story of the early church, his disciples, and what they did, basically. So there are 11 remaining disciples after Judas. Everyone, even non-Christians have heard of Judas, haven't they? Judas Iscariot. Judas betrayed Jesus. He hung himself because he was so felt so bad. So the 11 remaining disciples were so amazing and so on fire and so passionate about Jesus. They just went out and did what he said, which is still the same for all of us. The same thing that he commanded the 11 to do, go out, preach, spread the news, is exactly what he's mantled and given each and every believer to do. Is that right? So, but they were so passionate. And if you read Acts, they did all sorts of cool things. Miracles, signs and wonders. The Holy Spirit came down at the Feast of Pentecost. I didn't know this, but I always used to think Pentecost was this thing that happened when the Holy Spirit came. Does anyone else think that? I'm on my own there. Right. Well, it wasn't. It was a Feast of Pentecost because the first Pentecost happened when Moses gave the law to the people of Israel. So that was the Pentecost, that's when it happened. And then there would be a feast and a celebration of it. And they were joined together celebrating Pentecost at this time when the Holy Spirit came. The helper came that Jesus promised us. So they were doing all this cool stuff. And then at one point, they were so busy, there were so many people coming to the faith, there was healing signs and miracles and etc., that they ended up spending most of their time, the 11, handing out food, just serving people. So they were like, actually, we need to be spreading the good news. We need to raise up 7 other people so that they can give out the food to the widows and the poor so that we can focus on prayer. So what they did is they raised up 7 deacons, and their role was to hand out food. Do you know this story? Yeah, keep going. So they were really cool people. They were just normal people like you and I. They weren't all well-educated. They were just normal, these 18 people. And out of the 7 deacons, there was one guy called Philip. And he was known as Philip the Evangelist because he had a heart for people. And the story that I want to focus on today is Philip and the eunuch. So there was this massive revival going on all around the land. And their mate, one of the 7 called Stephen, has just got stoned. He just got murdered because he was talking about Jesus. And they were like, this is out of order. You can't talk about Jesus. It's heresy, blah, blah, blah. So they stoned him and they killed him. It didn't dampen them. It just made them more on fire. Can you imagine if that happened to us? Some of us don't even want to share our own story because we're afraid of someone taking the mick, let alone someone literally being murdered for doing it. So there was a bravery. There was such a bravery and a courage that they all had, which was so cool. So Stephen has just been stoned and Philip is going around and there was a big revival. So on his way to this revival, an angel of the Lord comes down and stops him and says, Philip, I want you to go on the desert road that way. So all the towns, all the revival was happening this way. And he says, no, I want you to go that way. Just go that way. This doesn't make sense. In our mind, we're thinking, things are all that way. This makes sense because we like making sense of things. We like putting our own logic to everything that we do as human beings, and we're quite controlling. So we want to be like, okay, that makes sense to me. That is the way I should go. But actually, an angel of the Lord came and stopped Philip and said, mate, I want you to go down that road. So he obeyed. And I'm going to pick up the story in Acts. Where is that story? Anyone know where that story is? Didn't write it down. Lovely. Okay, so Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Not much lighting, is there here? So, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south down the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch. an important official in charge of all the treasury. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah. And he said to him, do you understand what you're reading? The guy said, how can I, unless someone explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was reading in Isaiah about basically Jesus, which was prophesied many, many years before Jesus actually came, which is what's so amazing about the Bible. Everything's in alignment. It's not just another one of the religious books. It's not just another one of the religions. It's in perfect unity. It was written over 1,500 years by many, many different authors, and it all has one voice. So really read it. It's amazing. It's not like any other book. It's not been written by one man. It's God-inspired. So he was reading in Isaiah about Jesus basically coming, the anointed one coming. And then it goes on, and Philip chats to him and ends up baptizing this eunuch in the river. And what struck me is just the heart of God in this story. I actually have read the Bible many times, and that's never really jumped out at me, that story. It was just another one that I would just flick by. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can read my Bible and I'm not fully engaged. I'm reading words, but they're not really sinking in. And then I think, I actually don't even know what I've just read, because it's all just like blah, 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 because I haven't engaged and I haven't done it intentionally. So that's never really gone in to, you know, my whatever. So it just made me think that the heart of God is that we're all equal. You know, do you know what a eunuch is? I didn't know until I read it, and I was like, what? It's very specific. A eunuch has a specific missing situation going on. And I didn't know that. And actually, back in the day, if you were a eunuch, it was quite a, like an important position. And you were given a lot of stuff, I presume, to like balance out the loss of, you know, that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Anyone not know what I'm talking about? They're like, what's she talking about? You know what a eunuch is? Well, who doesn't know what a eunuch is? I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to say it. I've had to try and get that out of my brain. I had to say it a million times so I didn't accidentally say it in front of you. So can you imagine I was talking about this in the week, and I was like, can you imagine the job description for a eunuch? You know, it's like, you're going to have all the wealth, you're going to get your own chariot, a wicked car, you're going to like be really important. You're like, this sounds like a great job. You're going to go to all the palaces, you're going to get all this stuff. Wicked, sign me up. And then it's like the little small print. When you go in, they're like, did you read the small print? Yeah, cool, sign me up. Okay. Can you imagine? We're now going to do the removal process. But actually, eunuchs were unclean. They were unclean people in the Jewish faith. They weren't allowed in the temple because you had to be fully everythinged to be allowed access into the temple. So this is an unclean man, right? According to Jewish law. And an angel of God literally stops his evangelist and says, I want you to go along this road, knowing that he's going to meet this eunuch. So it says to me that God has not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're unclean. He really cares to connect with you. Really, really, really cares to connect. And it just made me feel so, what an overwhelming love that God has, that he would take Philip away from like the hustle and bustle of all the action to go down some wilderness road to just meet one person, one unclean person at that. So they have this interaction, Philip and the eunuch. I don't even think he's got a name in here. And the eunuch has this amazing, he's overwhelmed with joy. And if, you know the gift of the Spirit One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is joy, and all good things come from God. So any good thing in your life is from God, even if you don't know God. That's actually biblical. And so he's filled with joy, which means he's filled with the Spirit. And he's baptized, and then what happens? Did you see that thing that happens after? I didn't read it out, but if you know this. So Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. The eunuch didn't see him. He went on his way rejoicing. And Philip appeared in Azotus. So, like, that's literally like, I don't know what happened, but the power of God, that's so cool. He took him out of his way, and rather than making him walk, he like literally was like, cool, I'm just gonna pick you up and then put you back where you were going anyway. So you've not lost anything. In fact, you've had a cool ride as well. And you've like actually been instrumental in the birth of the Ethiopian church. That's where it all happened. So it wasn't just one person as well. So I want to encourage you as believers, if you do know Jesus, like listen to him, even if it might not make sense. Even if it's like, yeah, but all of these people over here, I should be doing this. My ministry is preaching. My ministry is all of this. Actually, it might just be that one person that God tells you to go and speak to that one time. And then out of that might birth something amazing. And with God, there is nothing lost. You know, he could have thought, if I go there, I'm going to be really late because they're expecting me. You know, news was traveling about Philip, but that didn't stop him. He still obeyed, which was just, I think, is so amazing and actually so encouraging for us. He made the effort. I thought that was cool. So the two things that I really wanted to talk about in terms of personal application for you guys to take away is, first of all, to those of you guys that know Jesus, let's be like the disciples, eh? You know, like, let's be like them. Because it says that, you know, blessed are those who haven't seen me but still believe. And that's all of us. We haven't seen him. But if we believe in the same way that the disciples who saw him, that is like a blessed place to be. Let's be like them. Let's be on fire and intentional. Because the disciples were others-minded. They weren't just thinking, I'm going to get stoned for this. This is really scary. They were thinking about other people the whole time. How can I serve? Let's feed the poor. Let's spread the good news. There was healings and miracles that followed them. And that is for all of us. We can all have that. You know, like, it's quite alarming when you read in Revelation, you know, when God's saying, like, basically, if you're lukewarm, I just want to like vomit you out. That's quite damning, isn't it? You know, and if you think about, like I was thinking, what does it mean to be lukewarm? You know, and the way that I thought about it, if as a Christian, it means to be lukewarm if you literally can't be bothered. It's like, yeah, Jesus is cool. I know there's a God and it's really cool and everything. But, you know, I'll come to church when I can. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, so I'll just do it when I can. Not being engaged with other people and encouraging other people. Not bothering with your discipline. You know, I don't want to sound like a teacher telling you off, but, and I'm not. I'm just, this was actually the challenge to myself about not being lukewarm, and I want to encourage us all to not be lukewarm. You know, like being disciplined and reading your Bible, because there's so much cool, amazing, inspirational life in this book. You can find anything in the whole Bible. You can just literally read Genesis 1 over and over and over and over again, and you can find so much about the heart of God. And the heart of God, when I read it, and I'm sure you know this, is all about restoration. He so desperately loves us. He so desperately loves his creation. He so desperately loves people that he wants to restore and make a way all the time. And if you're in this all the time, then you will be more minded towards that and more aware of the whole. It's all about reconciliation. God wants a relationship with every single person, a real one. Not just like a little lukewarm one, you know. Because he really does deserve our best. He deserves our total, total best. Yeah. And the thing that I wanted us to take away is really the ones, to the people that don't know Jesus, like he cares so much. He really, really, really cares. And And those of you that know Jesus, if we can live with that same care, true care and concern, that is an amazing, amazing thing. Because he loves people so, so, so much. And he goes out of his way, like he did, sending an angel down to stop someone on their way to something that still was a revival, that still made sense, but stop them just for that one person. Shows how much he cares for that one person. I was, Schindler's List is quite an old film now. Has anyone seen that? Yeah. You know, at the end when he's like, this one pen I could have saved like two Jewish people with this one pen. Remember that bit in the end? He's regret. This is a guy, it's a true story of a guy who saved a lot of Jews from the Holocaust, from being murdered. And he was quite wealthy and he gave a lot of his money to try and save. But he had this, the only thing that he regretted, actually at the end, he wasn't rejoicing out of all he saved. He was regretting what he could have done more of. And I just, for all of us believers, we do not want to get to the other side and regret. Yeah. Like, I just wasted my time living for myself, being self-centered, not caring about the Great Commission. It's a big thing. So I think let's get out of our comfort zone. You know, it was really cool when Tim was saying that 98% of people will not invite someone to church, which in here, that means there's like 98 of us wouldn't invite. This is quite a lot, isn't it? But the statistics show that 88% of people, if they're invited, would come. And this is a simple thing, just inviting to church, let alone walking out a real relationship with God. So I think that these, and this whole series is all about firing you up and just reminding you why we exist and, you know, the whole point of all of that. In James, it's cool, I've started doing this Bible study thing where I stopped watching movies as much as I used to and just getting into the Word. And oh my gosh, there's so much stuff in here that's in completely in alignment. I sound like a new Christian, don't I? But you know what? To have that passion, because it's all alive and new, I just think it's so sad and I never want to get to that point where I'm like, I know the Word of God. I know the Bible. I can't learn anything. Oh my gosh, that would be a very sad, arrogant place to be. And I just think it's so cool because I felt like a bit dumb. I was like, I really feel like a child. And then I was talking and someone said to me, yeah, but isn't that how we're supposed to be? Like a childlike faith and excitement? It's amazing. So anyway, in James I was reading 2:14 and it talks about what good is it if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. But show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And this was a challenge to me. It's like, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, I pray, I read my Bible, I go to church. That's cool and all. But if there's no deeds in action, where I'm actually going out and fulfilling actually what Jesus said, because what he actually said is go out and make disciples. And that was a challenge to me because I was like, if all I'm doing is just having my nice little world and praying for the genie in the bottle to like give me all the things that I need, then that's not really the point, you know? And Jesus didn't kind of say that. He didn't say, you know, just do all of that and then it's all cool. He gave us this amazing commission, which is an honor to be able to be a part of and do. And as Dad was speaking about last week, you know, we can pray, which is amazing. We can have faith, which is so cool. But we actually, if we don't get out there and invite and start actually talking about it, to people who don't already believe, it's kind of not going anywhere. All it is about throwing out the net, you know? I was reading in this morning, just I was reading the Bible. I was like, Lord, where should we, what do you want me to read? I love including God in my Bible reading. Does anyone do that? Where should we go? What should we do? And I try and do that with other things, like, what should I wear today? You know, like, because he's my mate, and it's a real thing, and so it's like, I think you should wear that. I don't know if anyone else does that, but that's just my little thing. Do you do that? And he said, read Romans. So I read Romans. And what jumped out at me is that in Romans 1, verse 20, it said, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. So what that means is that actually he's kind of made it a bit easy for us, because what he's done is he's put eternity in everyone's heart. Like literally like this thing, this special like magical button, whatever, that has inside it, like people understand and know that there must be a God. And there must be more. There must be more. And so many people have come to that crossroad, whether it's, you know, their lives have fallen apart and it's like, there must be more. People cry out to God, even though they might not even believe that there is a God, but it's because of this thing that he's put inside eternity on their mind. So he's actually even made it easy, which is so wonderful and gracious of him, because he's even made that easy for us, you know? He's put it in people already. So I just want to encourage you guys. I feel like time is just going slowly, because that's my main message. My main message is really about being like the disciples, being like Philip, being bold as a disciple, as a believer, being bold, being plugged into the Holy Spirit, listening and reading your Bible every day and speaking to him and talking to him, and then listening. If he says do something that might not make sense to you, just do it, like he did with Philip and the eunuch. You know, I want you to go along the wilderness road. Okay, but there's nothing there. I'm not going to meet anyone. The cities are there. Makes more sense. I should go there. Go along to the wilderness road. Okay, cool. So I'm going to go along. And then at that point, you meet that one person, that one supposed unclean person. And then out of that births a whole entire church in Ethiopia. And he's got that for all of us. He's already commanded all of us to do that. Any believer, that's our job. That's our role. So I just want us to go away being intentional from church today, like being intentional about that is my purpose, and your road or your wilderness road is your life, is like you're going to work, you're coming about. And Tim actually, when he preached and opened up our whole series, was all about wherever you walk, wherever you go, whatever you do, that is your opportunity. It is in those moments. It's not waiting to preach, or it's not waiting for some special thing to happen. It's in all of those daily moments, wherever you are. So that's it.